Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers, and I'm so happy, man. It's a beautiful Thursday, about 60 degrees here in Ohio in February. I had my birthday this month. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Like, I can't complain. Life has been awesome. I'm here today for the NBA trade deadline special, part one. Obviously, we're going to have part one today, preview and go over review some of the trades that went down. Some of these absurd takes by Colin Cowherd that I have to let my mind off of. I have a platform to say what I want to say, and I'm going to do it. I like Colin Cowherd for the most part if you listen to my show, but there's just some things that, man, the ridicule on the Kentucky player because they haven't won a championship in the NBA, which I think is just a garbage take. Obviously, the DeMarcus Cousins trade, Magic Johnson being in L.A. So a lot of different things that I want to get to on today's episode. First, let's start with the Magic Johnson hiring. Look, I like it. I'm sorry, but Jim Buss, I knew it was in the great Jerry Buss's, you know, will to have Jim run this team and get the organization running, but he has not done so. Went into the ground. He ran the Lakers organization to the ground. Yes, you got young pieces like Randall, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance. That's not getting you a championship anytime soon. Oh, no, it's not. Take, for instance, Cleveland. I mean, they pretty much botched their picks when they had one. But they got one right. Well, they got two right in Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson. They had an awful year. They didn't start winning until LeBron James came back. And that number one overall pick was Andrew Wiggins, who they traded for Kevin Love. Let's take, for instance, the Boston Celtics. When did they start winning? When they traded for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce was great on his own, but they weren't winning games. Doc Rivers was on the hot seat. The Lakers culture. Let's go back to the early 2000s, late 1990s. How'd they get Shaq? Free agency. They drafted Kobe. It's great to draft. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have a nice, great player that you can draft, homegrown. But we're going to other pieces. All those Laker pieces that you drafted, they're not going to stay on the team. You got to trade for a superstar. And when the Lakers botched the DeMarcus Cousins deal, not only did Jim and Mitch keep Jeannie out of the trade discussion, they botched the deal for DeMarcus Cousins. Say what you want about DeMarcus Cousins. He's a headache. He's annoying. He's a baby. He's a prima donna. The man is averaging 28-12, and he played for the Sacramento Kings. You telling me you want to be a little bit crazy? Gosh, this is so much I want to get into. You telling me you're going to put on DeMarcus, huh? A guy that averages 28-12 in the league. A guy that has never been in jail. Same thing with T.O. T.O.'s out of Hall of Fame because his antics, but he's never been to jail, never been arrested. So what's the problem here? Yes, is there some issues? Yeah. But don't tell me that it's all DeMarcus Cousins' fault. Stop it. You know what? I got time. Let's break down the Sacramento Kings picks. Started from 2007. And looking at this, they only kept two of their players that they drafted since 2007. I got time. Let's do it. 2007, first round pick. Number 10 overall, Spencer Hawes. First round pick, Jason Thompson. Number 12 overall. Tyreek Evans. 2009, fourth overall pick. That was all right. That was okay. I mean, injury prone. We thought he was going to be the franchise guy. Omari Cashby trying to be a pretty decent pick. 2010, you drafted Hassan Whiteside and DeMarcus Cousins in the same draft. Both gone. Bismack Biyombo, 7th overall pick, 2011. Oh, not only in that, you drafted Isaiah Thomas too, who averaged 20 points while he was in Sacramento. Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft, who's virtually top 5 point guards, top 7 in the league right now, MVP candidate. Thomas Robinson, number 5 overall pick. Ben McLemore, who I was never high on. I was never high on Ben McLemore. No, not one bit. He's going after this year. Nick Stauskas. Stauskas from Michigan. Love him, Michigan. Pretty decent role in Philly. And that was a head scratcher. That was a head scratcher because you're going to draft two guards, virtually the same pick, 7 and 8, and McLemore and Stauskas. I don't know why I'm struggling with that word. And they're both going to be out of town. Willie Cauley-Stein, still have to be determined. You had Marquise Chris, who's looking pretty decent, and you end up trading him with Phoenix. Great. The Kings also drafted Jimmer Fredette over Kawhi Leonard. Klay Thompson as well. So you drafted Jimmer Fredette over Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson. Thomas Robinson over Damian Lillard. Get out of here. But it's Boogie's fault. Now, I'm going to defend Vlade for maybe about 5% of this. Vlade, you get defense for like 2 minutes because as I was listening to Colin Cowherd, and he has a decent take on this, and he said, you're better off if your owner's crazy, as we've seen that the Sacramento Kings owner is, who thinks Buddy Hield's the next Steph Curry. You're better off drafting, because March Madness comes around. Owner thinks he knows basketball all of a sudden, an unstable owner who thinks he's a basketball GM as well. Before I even get to this point, let's break it down like this. The Cowboys didn't start winning games again till Jerry Jones let down the reins and let his son handle it. To let people in charge make business decisions, personnel decisions for the team. So as an owner, you're better off just laying back. And as a GM, if you have a crazy, unstable owner that the Sacramento Kings owner has shown that he is capable of doing, you're better off drafting that player that the owner wants instead of getting a guy that you want and he ends up being a bust. Let's say the guy you drafted, the owner wants, he ends up being a bust. You can go to the owner and be like, well, you can't fire me. You told him what you wanted him. Don't be mad at me. As opposed to drafting a guy that you like and he sucks. Me personally, I couldn't do that. My job as a GM was to make the best personal decisions for a team, whether if it costs my job or not. If I was a GM, that's my stance. You told me to be in this position, in this role, I'm going to do the best, what's the best for the organization. I'm not going to watch a guy that goes off on a hot winning streak in March Madness. Thomas Robinson, Jimmer Fredette, Malachi Richardson, Buddy Hield. And I hope Malachi becomes a decent player. The last guy that had a hot streak in the NCAA tournament who turns out pretty decent was Steph Curry. That was the last guy. And if I'm wrong, comment on the show and let me know, because I don't know. Who was the last guy that had a decent run to March Madness, memorable run, and turns out pretty decent in the pros? Johnny Flynn, flop. I'm a leader. I'm not going to bring up more players. Johnny Flynn is a perfect example of that. Jimmer Fredette with his 62 point games. Dropped 73 in the China League and lost. And I'm not a big believer of, wow, they whiffed on this pick. Because you know what? As unstable as Sacramento was, would Klay Thompson be Klay Thompson? Would Kawhi Leonard be Kawhi Leonard? Will Hassan Whiteside be Hassan Whiteside? Because Sacramento has shown they're not good at developing players. So, for the sake of the NBA, I'm glad the Kings made the mistake of whiffing on these players. Because I don't know how good they would have been. I'm glad that Kawhi Leonard went to the Spurs to get good development. I'm glad Dame went to Portland where he could just plug in right away and stole the show. I like that Klay Thompson has another Splash Brother and Steph Curry and a good coach in development for Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr to make them players that they are today. And I thank Sacramento for whiffing on these picks, because who knows if they would have been that good. The NBA is more about fit than it is talent. Of course, you need talent, but the fit has to be there as well. The organization has to be well rounded all together. Which leads me back to why I don't blame it on Boogie. Which leads me back that you chose Brandon Ingram, and I get it, you know, cheap contract, don't have to worry about paying him, he still has to develop. That's another 3 years waiting for this guy to develop to be a 20-point scorer who's shooting 36%, I think, 46-36% from the field, average 8.5 points a game. Don't get me wrong, I think Brandon Ingram had a triple-double or near triple-double this season. The talent's there, he's still a rookie. But I got a guy in DeMarcus Cousins that's in his prime, 26 years old, who's going to be a virtual unstoppable big man for the next 7 years, set in stone. Because when it comes to Laker basketball, you can go down the line, there's always a big and a point guard. Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kobe, Shaq. There's always a big man and a combo guard. That's the Lakers' nature of play. And when Jeannie Buss found out they didn't do that for the sake of Brandon Ingram, you got to go. Say what you want about DeMarcus. You got to go. That's 28-12. And it all started with the Dwight Howard. You know, you bust that free agency. You told Phil Jackson, yo, man, I'm going to give you the Monday, make a decision, because Phil Jackson was obviously a perfect fit instead of Mike D'Antoni, who had Paul Gasol coming off the bench. You sign a 40-year-old Steve Nash. It's just all bad. It's all bad. Like, the Lakers, I'm glad Magic is going to clean this up. I really am. And you know, Magic, what do you do? Trade Lou Williams for a first-round pick and Corey Brewer. Sure, that pick won't be, you know, too high because Houston just has the two, you know, best bench scorers in the NBA put together now. They're going to try to offense Golden State. But Magic is making moves. He's going to try to get rid of Nick Young. Her for a second-round pick or something, you know. Get these guys out the way. Mozgov and Dang are going to be on the team for a while, but in 2 years now, those expiring contracts that you can trade away, maybe get a marquee name in the summer. As far as New Orleans, I hope Boogie and Anthony will mesh together. The question that I have to ask is Alvin Gentry going to be a good fit for them? I don't know. Alvin like to play up, you know, up pace, and I don't know. Alvin Gentry showed that he can win games in the NBA. He can show that he can lose games in the NBA. He's an overall, you know, overall he's a likable guy in the NBA. But time will tell how the New Orleans deal will work out. Either way, I like these two pairing the big men. You know, this is something that we're not gonna. This is something that I haven't seen that we're not gonna see since Ralph Sampson and. You know, Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, the two guys, man. The Twin Towers. That's something that we're not going to see since Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon. So we're going to see how that essentially plays out. And I think Anthony Davis is an unselfish player. He'd rather win games and put up numbers. I think DeMarcus is the same way as well. We're going to see. So hopefully that'll work out. Before I end the trade NBA trade deadline special, got some rumors going out there. You know, Derrick Rose for Ricky Rubio. Is Jimmy Butler going to Boston? Brooke Lopez might get traded. Carmelo Anthony. All that stuff. Even the 76ers reached out to the Bulls about acquiring Jimmy Butler, which I think Philly has the pieces to do so. I think their pick would have to be involved as well. But before I get onto my take about Kentucky and the Cowherd saying that they underachieved, I want to, you know, just wrap up all the trades that has happened so far. As I record this podcast at 11:41 on Thursday morning, I believe it's February 23rd. So if breaking news happens, that's why we got part two. Part two of my boy Game Tino coming on. So we're going to talk about part two and all the things and review the trade deadline. But so far, all the moves. After the DeMarcus Cousins deal, we have Corey Brewer, obviously, going to the Rockets in exchange for Lou Williams. You know, first-round pick was involved in that as well that the Lakers have acquired. The Nets, Brooklyn Nets, they acquired Marcus Thornton and Andrew Nicholson for Bogdan Bogdanovic and Chris McCullough. Chris McCullough. I don't know, but I like the move for the Wizards getting another scorer off the bench because, gosh, they needed it. And Bogdan can get you anywhere from 8 to 15, maybe 20 if he's feeling it. So it comes a playoff game. Let's say Otto Porter's feeling streaky. Bradley Beal's feeling streaky. You put Bogdan in that 2 or 3 spot. John Wall, just dish it out to him, and he'll get you a 3 and get you a bucket. So I like that move. A little minor move, Tiago Splitter. Going to the 76ers for Irvin Ilyasova. Man, I feel for this because what does Ilyasova has to prove? Like, dude's a capable scorer. This is Ilyasova's third team, you know, in this NBA season. He started off in Orlando, and he goes to the Thunder, and then he goes from the Thunder, then he's in Philly, and he's in Philly, and he's in Atlanta now. Like, man, like, he's a great fantasy option too. So now I gotta find somebody, cause you know he's not getting any points behind Dwight Howard and Paul Millsap. So now I gotta find a new guy in fantasy. And Tiago Splitter going to Philly just shows you that Jahlil Okafor is gonna be moved, or Nerlens Noel, one of them are. The proof is in the pudding that you got another big now. So they're expecting to move one of those bigs out the way. What's up, listeners? Just like to take the time to thank you for listening to The Fast Break. But before we move on to the rest of the show, I just have to ask, do you like daily fantasy? If so, check out the app Draft. Yes, Draft. Get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times as better than FanDuel or DraftKings. Yes, 3 times as better. The data shows almost 90% of the players lose on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. The facts just show. And to give you even more intrigue to get on the app, use the promo code ABPN. Yes, ABPN. And you'll get 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $600. Use the promo code ABPN, 100% bonus on your first deposit. Promo code ABPN. Look, Draft is simple. No salary cap, no wages. Simple, old school snake draft. When it's your turn to pick, it's your turn to play. Draft, smarter play for daily fantasy. Now back to the show. All right, last take I wanted to get into. As you guys know, I'm an avid listener of Colin Cowherd. I really like his show. You know, I listened to his show growing up, and I basically like the takes he has. Some are out there, you know, but for the most part, I agree with most of his decision making. And if I don't agree, I see his premise. This is something that I just couldn't agree with, but I seen the premise. But I think the premise was under false pretenses, and I think it doesn't make any sense. Basically, what Colin said, for the most part, Kentucky basketball players have underachieved in the NBA. and they have no NBA title winners. Huh. Underachieve. And before I dive in on that, okay? Let's talk about underachieve. Urban Meyer quarterbacks have underachieved in the NFL. Chris Leak, Tim Tebow. Who knows where JT Barrett and Cardale Jones are going to end up in their career? The best guy was Alex Smith? He can't win you a playoff game? All right. As far as Kentucky players underachieving, I'll say this. Was the talent in the NBA, did it transfer well in the NBA? And this is before Calipari. Colin was talking about, you know, when Calipari got there. They're still underachieving the NBA. This is before Calipari. You know what? Jamal Mashburn, he was nice. Tayshaun Prince, he has a ring. Rondo has a ring. For the most part, okay, they don't compete. In the NBA, you know, it doesn't compete to the UCLAs. You know, I get it. But you're going to tell me since Calipari got there, those players have underachieved? I'm not going with it. Oh, they're head cases. And you guys know if you listen to a show, he always picks on John Wall. Just stop it. And I'm glad it took 6 years for him to realize that John Wall's a decent player and a great guy. So I'm glad that it took Colin that long. He kind of backed off of John Wall. But last time I checked, LeBron James has been dominating. Golden State has been dominating. Because, oh my gosh, I didn't commit to Kentucky. I'm an automatic, you know what I'm saying? So now we're taking away credit from Kentucky now? But it's asinine, to say the least. It really is. What was the last big Syracuse guy? Carmelo Anthony. Johnny Flynn flopped. Indiana. Isaiah Thomas. Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller are nice role players. Ricky Farrell's doing all right. What was the last big Georgetown guy? Otto Porter Jr., he's nice. Greg Monroe, he's nice. So why are we, none of us won, nothing, they haven't won a title in the NBA. Why? Because LeBron James is playing. Because the Golden State Warriors are great. Because Greg Popovich is still coaching the Spurs. Don't judge. It's idiotic. Though you can't judge a player because they haven't won a title yet. Charles Barkley hasn't won a title. Are we going to judge Auburn now for not producing good talent? Which, you know, they're not known for that, but at least for basketball. But still, if you want to judge off of personal performances, okay. We'll judge off of personal performances. And yes, some of Cal guys have flopped. I'm going to give you the floppers. Daniel Orton, the Harrison twins. You know, they're still young, but, you know, for the most part, you know. Deron Lamb. Archie Goodwin, Darius Miller, Marcus Teague, James Young. Those are the floppers. Okay, those guys that didn't, you know, really translate the talent to the NBA. But they're still playing overseas and good for them. But you know what? For those underachievers that Colin Cowherd, you know, thinks that Kentucky are producing and underwhelming, Coach Cal gave us John Wall, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, and Devin Booker, who are both averaging 20 apiece on the same team. Role players like Patrick Patterson, Willie Cauley-Stein, Brandon Knight, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's still starting the NBA and can't shoot. We knew Michael Kidd-Gilchrist couldn't shoot coming out of college. We knew that. And he still went number two overall. And he's still a decent role player, and he's starting the NBA. Nerlens Noel? I want Nerlens Noel on my team. I don't know about you guys. I want him on my team. Nice defensive presence. Julius Randle? Well, I think he's like number five in triple doubles this year. Multiple triple doubles this season. Multiple double doubles this season. Jamal Murray with the upside. Tyler Hughes with the upside. Scalabrassier, we don't know where it's going. Their stories are far from over. They're far from over. Has some of these guys not panned out? Yes. But naming Kansas players that, besides Embiid, Andrew Wiggins, name another Kansas player that panned out. How did Tyshawn Taylor go? How's he doing? Ben McLemore. How did he do? Where's Perry Ellis? Where's he at? I like the Morris twins. They're nice. But they're not elite talent. They're not all-stars. Kentucky has produced multiple all-stars. So where's the premise? Because they haven't won a title in the NBA? You do know the average age of Cal players in the NBA? The average age is 23. You know who's the oldest guy? Eric Bledsoe at 27. That's the oldest Coach Cal player. Oh, and LeBron James is still in the league. Isn't that something? And you do know, like, they're so talented, they get drafted to bad organizations who has a history of drafting and signing bad players. So, but, you know, they're underachieving. What is the organization, what is a player supposed to do? Kyrie didn't start winning games, so what? Oh, LeBron James came back. Huh? What? Little Uzi voice. Huh? What? Yeah. So don't tell me that Kentucky players are underachieving. It's just asinine. Because they haven't won a title in the NBA. It's just false. It's just, you're making something out of nothing. Tayshaun Prince played a huge role in that Detroit Pistons team. Huge role. Rajon Rondo, like it or not, he had a huge game six to close out the NBA Finals to beat the Lakers. Went toe-to-toe with LeBron in that series against Miami back in 2012. So don't come in here and say that Kentucky players are underachieving because they haven't won titles. Sorry, everybody's not going to win a title. Karl Malone, second all-time leading scorer in the NBA, didn't win a title. And you can't take credit for NBA players from people that went to your school doing well in the NBA. You can't take credit for that. Because they went to your school for a year or two, 3 years. You want to take credit because the GM and organization made the right moves and got the right talent and got lucky and picked the player from the so far college? Come on. That's like you're taking credit in the. It's like a group project. You didn't do anything. You put your first and last name on the paper, and you get one idea. But the one guy, you know, working through all the project, did all the due diligence. But you want credit for everything because you put your first and last name on the paper? A kid decided to go to LSU. Okay, so let's say this. Let's say Ben Simmons, who had a great statistical year for LSU, but people still want to, you know, bash on him. Let's say Ben Simmons wins the title. But he has Joel Embiid on his team, another star player, another 1A player. And the Philadelphia 76ers turned everything around, and they did fine. Are we going to give LSU credit for producing a national, you know, an NBA championship winner? Does LSU get credit for that? Or should the 76ers get credit for that? I just want to know. Because, Colin, if you want to talk about players that underachieved, okay, that's fine. But if you want to talk about players that underachieved because they didn't win a finals, it's garbage. It's garbage. Eric Bledsoe, Anthony Davis, John Wall, all-stars. DeMarcus Cousins, all-star. Patrick Patterson, still a good role player. Terrence Jones, who went off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nice role player. I'm not even going to include Enos Kanter because he wasn't even eligible to go to Kentucky. And he was going to go there. So don't judge on the rings. It's unfair. Let's do what is 2017. Let's do what all Kentucky team for the last 10 years compared to everybody else's from 2007. Who's competing with them? Maybe UCLA with Love, Westbrook, and Drew. Maybe UCLA. I think that's the next team that can compete. Kansas has Wiggins and Embiid. They got Thomas Robinson too, but you don't want to talk about that. No, you don't want to talk about that, huh, Colin? The NBA players have dominant players of the East generation. Who cares what college they come from? It's not what they do in the pros. Paul Pierce didn't start winning games until Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen came over. That's when they won a chip. You need talent. And I'm not going to bring up Pat Riley, who's one of the Mount Rushmores of the NBA. So, you know, I know it was a long rant, guys, but I just had to speak my piece about it. You know I had to do it for you. As always, thank you for listening to The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers. Like I said, this is the NBA Trade Deadline Special, Part 1. We have Part 2 coming tomorrow with Tino Virgelis. You know, we did the Lakers podcast way back, just talking free agency and trade deadline coming up here. So we have him back for Part 2. Great guy, brings his stuff. And we dispute a lot. We have different opinions. So I think that's great for the show as well. As always, you can check me out on AlmightyBaller.com. Yes, AlmightyBaller.com on iTunes as well, on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and BlogTalkRadio.com as well. Also, we also have Fast Break shirts now, the Fast Break shirts with Blake Rogers. You can find us on AlmightyBaller.com and click on the tab, the store section. You can get a nice shirt, get your color as well, with the Fast Break logo on there, and choose what color you want as well. So definitely check out the AlmightyBaller.com. Check out everything. Check out the podcast, man. And thank you for listening. Part 1 was today and Part 2 tomorrow. And as always, you know what we got to do. Stay lit.